God, once again, to begin, we're holding on Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, the Sechas Kumim. All right, the last thing that we learned yesterday was we proved that indeed there's a difference between a Mechuber Mikoro and something that was first Talush, and then you were Mechaber. And we showed that Aliba the Rebbe, seems to be some type of innate problem in Mechuber. We didn't have the source for it yet, because he holds that Mechuber is a big enough problem to passel Afilu B'diavad, if it was Mechuber Mikoro. And we learned that according to Rebbe Chiya, it would be kosher Lechatchila. It doesn't matter according to Rebbe Chiya, we don't see any distinction in Rebbe Chiya about these issues, because he doesn't have any basis to pass with many rises. So according to him, the issue seems to be a question of whether there's a greater chashash of drisa if the knife is standing in one place and the head of the animal is the thing that you're going to be moving. Now, in the context of that, and the brisa that proved to us there's an akdamina between Mechuber Mikoro and between Talosh of Asof Kibro, one of the cases that was given was the case of mechanical shechita. So somebody has a machine in which there's a revolving saw. Of course, it's smooth, so there's no behemoths in it. And you simply want to mass produce shechita. You'll bring the neck of each animal on this. Now, the Bryce said that a mechanical saw, mechanical knife, would be kosher for shechita. So on that mark, today on the second line, we quote that verse and we ask a kash on it. You said yesterday that if you use a mokuna to shaft, the shvita is okay. But there's another verse that says that you cannot use a machine to do shvita. How do you explain the contradiction? Answers the Gemara Kasha, how the son of the Parcha, how the son of the Maya. One is referring to a machine that is essentially an adaptation of a potter's machine. Now, a potter's machine is run by a foot. He holds the piece of pottery, and he's got his foot thing, like, you know, the old tailors have, and that way he shapes the pot as it revolves and so on. And he controls it by maintaining pressure with his foot. Depends how much he pushes with his foot. Now, Shane Kane, so that's fine. Because over there, ultimately, you have a human-powered shvita. We don't care about the fact that it's revolving. And that's unimportant to us, how complex the machine is. As long as, ultimately, it's powered by a human. And the reason for this is v'zavakta v'yachal. You have to do the maisa of zvicha. Therefore, it requires a human-powered zvicha. If you have a muhani that is run on power, like a sarda de maya, you have something that's running on water power. So you've got the sawmill that's run by water, and you want to put in a knife that's kosher with shechita, over there, in fact, shechita would be ksula, because it's not the zavakta of your fault. There's no maisa of moving the knife that you're doing at all.
Does he activate chashmal?
Or chashmal? No, activation, we'll see in a moment. We're going to get to activation.
I also
heard
today from my father.
Ah, tell us the name.
Yehuda
Leib
ben Yisrael.
Yehuda Leib ben Yisrael. Shaul. Ben Yisrael Shaul. And I assume that there's a kiddush coming.
Next year.
That's the minute around you. And your place, your place.
We're not succeeding.
Oh my gosh, look at that South African to the core. Even that I'm avoiding a tree.
Even my grandmother on my mother's side was...
Oh, there you go. So where's the kiddush?
We could ask her for
it. Okay, so in other words, we have to distinguish between... We have to distinguish between an electric saw. That's okay, don't pour it. We'll see if we need it. Otherwise, we shouldn't need it, but no. Unless you want it for yourself. So an electric saw would be possible, but a hand power saw would be kosher. That's what we're coming out of. Or, now this is interesting, this actually relates exactly to what Avner just raised. The question of whether turning on the saw is okay, because that would be sort of a human power. And that's the next teretz the Gemara says. You could say that both cases, the case that it's kosher is talking about a power saw, and the case that it's partial is talking about a parasa. And the difference is, ha v'ha b'sana the maya v'lo kasha, ha b'koach rishon, ha b'koach sheni. This is a brilliant analysis because of what it is essentially an understanding of the nature of potential energy. In other words, the case over here that we're distinguishing between is releasing power and allowing it to get somewhere, releasing energy, or the fact that releasing something which will then flow on with new energy that enters the system. Now, there's a tremendous difference between these two, as we can see from the following case. This guy's got the perfect murder. Because what he does is he ties someone up in a perfectly beautiful valley, in which there's nothing wrong with tying him up. I mean, he might charge him with kidnapping charges or something. He certainly hasn't done anything. You tie him up. Then you walk over to the dam. And then you release the dam. Now, the question over there is, how about the captive of Chavra Vashkele Bitke Demaya, a guy who ties up his friend and then releases a dam, umis, and gee, he dies. Chayev. You would be chayev, my time, a giri di day hu de ahani be. If you analyze this, it's no different than shooting an arrow at someone. What happens? You pull back an arrow. So now you have potential energy in the arrow. Somebody else pulls back the arrow, so it's his potential energy. Hands it to you, you release the arrow. So you're going to say, well, I only released it. I mean, what did I do? So obviously it makes no difference, because the point is that the release of energy is exactly the same as having gone and pushed it yourself. If that's the case, if the water comes from the dam directly onto this person, it's as if you threw that water on the person. However, hani mili b'koach rishon. This is only if the initial flow hits the guy. So in other words, it's the energy that affects, your energy now that affects this guy because of the release. But if you release the dam, the guy's way downstream. And now all that's happening is that the water is flowing because it's no longer being held back from the dam. And it's not that the initial pent-up energy goes smashing down on the guy hits him. So basically what you're saying is that you were going that he should drown. That's not considered, that's a grama b'yalma. That's not considered to be your koach. So koach sheni grama b'yalmahu, and therefore you would be potter. Now the same thing would be true over here, l'gabi shchita. If the wheel of the saw was turning because you directly released the water that was pent up behind it with a little dam, so you open up the dam, because that was a standard control on these machines, if you've ever seen them. There's always a little dam behind it, and you can control the flow of the water, and that basically controls the speed of the water wheel. Yeah. So when you first release that dam, an animal that would be shechted against the wheel would be shechted by human power, because it would be a direct release of potential energy. But if then water keeps flowing because there's nothing blocking it, then already it's the koach of the mayim, not the koach of the release, and the mela is considered to be a koach sheni, and it's grama b'yam.
This explains Ian Fleming and all the 007 type scenarios. He must have known this Gemara. So
actually, things are a little bit more complex because we have issues. It's the famous case. You tie somebody down on the railroad tracks. Not a shyly is. If the train is already. The train did it. As Tosis points out, that's what Sugi talks about when it's Esho Mishun Chitzov. The thing is, you light a fire. If you hold that the heat of the fire is because it's considered to be your arrows, then obviously this shouldn't apply, because then your arrows ultimately burn up the guy. As long as the fire is already there, the fire burns up the guy, it's considered to be an extension of your chitzim. So in other words, the Torah extends the concept of your responsibility to even things that are not koach rishon, that they're ultimately to be seen as the result of your direct lighting. But this is not so partial, because why should this be any different? Now clearly there's a difference between the fire already on its way, and there's no difference, of course, between bringing something to a fire and bringing a fire to a thing. That's the same. You light the fire because we have a kofef komatosho chaveros, but he bends down wheat, puts it into the path of a fire. That's chayav as eish. It's the difference which direction you do it. So this should be no different. And we have to distinguish between the fire already in movement going towards this way and the dam standing still now. Now somebody needs to change the situation it was. But it's a complex sugya, which a lot of it is nogea really nezikin. It's not very much a chulin sugya, but it's fascinating that we can.
Is that anything like goyish and bakery where the Jew comes in and lights?
No, it's not. Although it's a fascinating comparison, but over there we have different standards. We don't need energy. We don't need to. We have only the din of what the rabbonim consider to be the bishul of a Jew. Okay, so that explains either we've got two different types of, we've got a humid powered saw or a water powered saw, or could both be power saws, the same with water, but the difference is whether it was the initial release or whether it's the flow that comes down the road. Yosef Rava Chorzer of Chia. Now getting back, notice we've never really discussed what Rebbe's reason was for saying that something that was before Bermi Koro would actually be possible for Shvita. I sort of peeked ahead and told you, but today we're going to learn it. There was Rav, and they're sitting in the classroom. Reb Chiya is sitting in the front row, Rav sitting behind him, and Rebbe is saying a shir. So the Yosef Rebbe, the Kameda Rebbe, the Yosef Rebbe, the Kamar, Rebbe is now giving over the source of his shita, that shita with Mechobel LeKarka is parcel. And of course, Reb Chiya never agreed to that anyway in the first place. In other words, even after hearing Rebbe, we know that Reb Chiya maintained that Shvita is kosher for Mechobel LeKarka. And that was the source of our mission. It says even Lechaschila, you would be able to Brach, even Lechaschila, you'd be able to shecht. And Rebbe would be the source of the Mishnah that says that only B'diavad you would shecht, and that would be referring to Tol Shuvah Sof Chibro, was the way we came out yesterday. So you can imagine that Reb Chiya, even though he heard Rebbe's drasha over here, was not very impressed. He certainly walked away with the opposite opinion. So Rebbe explained, Minayin l'shchita. How do we know that shchita is supposed to be dafka shehud talush? Supposed to be done with a knife that is not mechubar to the ground? Shinemar vayikach et ha-ma'achela teshchot et vino. After all, it says in the pasuk that Avraham Avinu picks up the knife and takes it with him in order to do the Akedat Yitzchak. Omle Rav, Rebbe Chiya, my Kama, what did Rebbe just say? There's one Lashon Rashi that he only heard the last part. He heard the pasuk, but he didn't hear what he was learning out of the pasuk. But Pashtus, you could say that it means that he was saying, I don't get it. How does that prove anything? But then you'll have to change the sugya later on, as we'll see. Marley and Reb Chiya said, what did he say? You really want to know? Did you ever try making a beautiful letter of Vav on a log? Wouldn't look very nice now, would it? That's what he said. A Vav de Ktiva Ufta, Karma. He's trying to make something nice, and he's basically making a mess of things. Or it could mean every log, every piece of wood, has got natural lines in it. If you think that one of those lines is a kosher vav, that's about how nice it is that he, his little drush over there. So, now, according to Rashi's pshat, Rav then turned around and said, but he said a parfait. And it's a vakroka amar. I don't understand, because then he added up, put the two together, and said, hey, yeah, the pasuk really does say that. If Lamaisa, Rav was bothered by how the pasuk proves that, and I'll explain why that would be, then what he would be, this would be the Gemara saying, vakroka amar. What about the Nisaya Pasik? Okay, so the Gemara answers, what does that Pasik prove? Kroz Rizuta da Abraham Kamashma. The only thing the Pasik is trying to show that Abraham Avinu takes no chances. What if he can't find something locally to shecht his child with?
That's not
what? Mukubar is not the issue. What if there's nothing sharp? Is that what he's going to sit there and wait until he sharpens something? This and that. Meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a mitzvah. He's interested in getting this done as quickly as possible. So Mamela doesn't prove anything. Now, the truth is that we've got a background problem here, which is we know we already used this pasuk by Nikar as a mashallah to prove that the shechita of kachim needs a kli. And indeed, remember that the case over there was talking about kachim, not chulin. So how can we prove for Chulin that this is true? And Tosfos has this problem, as we already used this in the Gemara to prove that there's a din of kli by Kachin. And Tosfos says that if it had said Vayikachat Machos Lishkotet HaOlah, then fine, then you'd be right, it'd be limited to Kashrut. Since it chooses Beno, there's two elements to the Shechita. There's the Kodesh part, in which the Ben is an Olah, but then there's also the Kohen part, which is his own personal relationship to his child, right? That part is in question. So there's the Ben that's not the Olah, and then there's the additional Chiyah, the Makrivim, which is the Olah. So Memela can be used in both directions. Why don't we go ahead then and say, so this should prove that you need a Kli, meaning like you have by Kutchin something that is specifically defined as a Kli, not a piece of glass that's sharp and so on, which we don't hold. So that's another part of that, the dinner Kli is only Shayach to Kutchin, because over there we know we have the Shores and so on. So we apply the dinim of Kli Shores. It's Medayik and Afkimini between Vayikach and Vayachin. It could have said Vayachin. Okay. Anyway, getting back to this. Omar Rabba. So here we know, in other words, Rabbi Chiya doesn't hold it as Rasha. Is there a problem? The problem if you don't hold it as Rasha could only be the difference between. Is there any grounds to say Bidiyavad in this case? Said a bidiyavad aliba the Rebbe. What would be the bidiyavad if the pasuk isn't referring to a case of tolosh of a self kibro? Why does Rebbe answer it? There's two possibilities. May answer it because you'll confuse tolosh of a self kibro with mechubra milchatzila, or could be he would answer it because he holds in general there's a problem of you controlling the head of the animal and the knife being stationary. It's much more likely to be bodhi deju isa perhaps. We'll get to discuss that a little bit later. Omar Rava says, well, okay, so now we came out with this interesting halacha. There's a mapkamina between Mechubar Meikaro and Talush of Basof Kibro. Now, there's a number of different things that it's important to establish whether that distinction is true. And here we've got it, Lagabe Shvita. Now, Rava didn't hear this whole description over here, but he made an analysis of the general sugya of what's the din of Talush of Basof Kibro. So he pointed out, he said, look, it's obvious to me when it comes to the question of Avodat Kochavim, and we know that the Torah says, Elohim ala harim, velo harim Elohim. So you cannot turn something that's b'chubar l'karka into a god to make it usher as Avodat Kochavim. Of course, you can worship anything you'd be chayav for that worship. But you can't give an isser to a thing that's b'chubar l'karka by turning it into an Avodah Zarah. So now the question is, how about if this thing were originally separate from the ground? Let's say build a house out of bricks, and you bow down to that house. It's the holy temple of the bricklayer. So what's the din? So there, it's clear to me, says Rava, that Talosh of Asof Chibro leinyan avodat kochavim, as regarding the sugya of avodat kochavim, is definitely not considered to be mechubar. It's considered to be Talosh. The Omar Mar. Indeed, someone who builds a house and then bows down to it, it becomes usher. The Isak, about the Kami Mukhub, is going to tell me that the bricks, since they are now connected to the ground, are considered to be indeed part of the ground. Then how could he usher his house? Does not the Torah say, Elohim ala harim, from which we learn, velo haharim Elohim, you cannot turn a mountain into a god. So that proves number one. Now, there's another issue that we need to establish whether Mechubar et Tolosh HaBasof Chibro is Mechubar or not, and that is the Gabi Hechsher Zra'im. What about the din as far as Hechsher Zra'im is concerned? Let's say somebody, remember that the din is Ki Yutan Mayim Al Zera. You have to, and the Torah writes it without the Vav, we read it as if it said, we can read it as if it says Ki Yitain. So, we learn from there that the kiyutan is dumya, the kiyutan. In other words, you're only going to be makshe something where it comes onto the Zra'im with a human acquiescence to it. The person has to say, oh, that's good. I'd like these Zra'im to get wet. Now, if somebody wanted rain, let's say, to come on his, house, wash off all of the dust on his house. And then we should start off every shiur with that little conversation between the two moose.
Two moose?
The two moose.
What conversation was that?
I see you never go to the same theaters I go, I'll tell you. You know what I'm talking about. That's a good fellow. So, suppose somebody had in mind that he wants it to rain on his house to wash off the dust. That water now comes and it falls after falling off his house. It hits Nassim's ruins. There's water he wants. Is that considered to be water that is his desire? So I think when it comes to Heksha's Royim, it would be a Machlokas Tanoim. It's not. I see from the Mishnah over here in Machshirim, it says, HaKofek Ara al HaKotel B'Shvil Shetudah. Somebody takes a bowl, turns it upside down now on a wall, he wants the bowl washed off. So then HaRezeh B'Shiyutan, that mayim, is considered to have been coming down with his acquiescence, and if the water afterwards falls onto Peros, it's his water, and it's considered to be Yutan Mayim Azera. However, if he put the plate on top of the wall in order to protect the new paint on his wall, so then ain't over for Yutan. Then it's Lakatel, because then he doesn't want it to fall. Now, isn't this a contradiction in itself? Take a look at the difference between the Rashi and the Sefer. You say, B'shvir shetudach, if you put the bowl on top of the wall in order that the bowl should be washed, then it's b'chiyutan. Okay, the implication is, I certainly simplify things by forgetting about the bowl and saying, I'd like to have my wall washed, right? What do I need a bowl for? Somebody who wants the rain to come down to wash his wall. So clearly, washing a wall is not the same as washing a bowl. It's only if you take the bowl and put it on the wall that you can get water that's going to be machshir's royim. But had your intent been that the water should fall on the wall, it would not have been machshir's royim. Very good. Now let's look at the sefer. So, first of all, the reisha, b'shvir shiyudach hakotel, you want the wall to be washed, ein zeh b'shiyutan. Then it would not be considered to be water suitable for hechsher. Then you say, in the next piece, v'atani, well, only b'shvir shelo yilakeh hakotel, ein zeh b'shiyutan. Only in order to prevent the water from touching the wall. Now that is the antithesis of b'shiyutan mayim azera, right? You b'davka don't want the water. Then why do you have to go to that extreme? I put a bowl on the wall to prevent the water from hitting the wall. Which would imply that if I was happy about the water hitting the wall because I want the wall to be cleaned by the water, it would be b'chiyutan. So you just made a statement, which the first half of your statement contradicts the second half of your statement. Now to explain that, the implication being that if you would want the wall to have been washed off and wouldn't have protected it by putting an umbrella over it, then harayze b'chiyutan. How do you explain that? Rebbe, you don't. It's impossible to explain. Tabra. You have to break the brisa into two. Nisha shana zo, lo shana zo. Obviously, we've got two different mandi amrim over here. One mandi amar holds that a wall, which is mechubar now, but was originally separate bricks, is considered to be mechubar, and therefore water falling on it is not going to be machshir's royim, because it has to be falling on something that is taller, like royim themselves. That's why only if you put a bowl on it, if the bowl gets washed off, then the water is coming down for something that's not mechubar. The other mandi amar says, no, if you wanted water to fall on that wall, it would be the same as if it was mechubar all along. I mean, it's the same as if it's taller, because it wasn't mechubar all along. And the only way in which it won't be moksha l'kabel, for Zroyim l'kabel tuma, is if you put an umbrella over it to stop the water from getting on the wall, right? And that's why I say, it's a machlokas. Rav Papa says, that doesn't have to be a machlokas. Could all be the same tana. You know, they're all different types of walls. There are rova walls, which were sort of there all the time, the ones we call the caves. Not really. But in a true cave, the wall was always there. I mean, basically, you just hollowed out the cave, right? So over there, it was mechubar mikaro. So ha-bekotel ma'ara, ha-bekotel b'yon. We could simply say, one is talking about the kotel of a cave, and that's mechubar mikaro. Mechubar mikaro definitely is not going to be machshir zroim, if water falls on it. That's the case where you need to put up a bowl. Whereas the other case is talking about a brick wall, and over there, if you let the water fall on the wall directly, it would also have been considered to be your das, to be Marsha's Rahim, and there only if you put the bowl on it to protect it. Now, let's read it in the Brisa, okay? With my interpretation, says Rav Papa. Fine. You're kovid kara lakotel in order that the bowl now should be cleaned. I raise it to you, Tan. Okay, implication being, if you want the wall to be cleaned, then ain't it to you, Tan, because this wall is a mechurba. Ah, now let me put in my little piece of explanation. Bamed varim amurim, when do we say this? Bekotel na'ara. Avo bekotel binyan. This is only if it were a natural wall of a cave, let's say. So it was always there. Avo bekotel binyan. If you're talking about the wall of a building, you built it now out of bricks or something, over there, the only way to say that the water is not b'chiyutan in an equivalent case is where the bowl had been put there in order to protect the wall from getting wet. Then you don't want the water. So there, b'shvir shelo yilakeh kotel, only in that case is it not b'chiyutan. But if you would be willing, b'shvir shudach hakotel, you want the wall to be washed off by the rain, even though it's currently mechubar, since it's made out of bricks, it's considered to be tolosh, because it's tolosh ulebesof kibro. I raise it b'chiyutan. Okay, so it's basically a machlokas, Rav Papa and Rava, as to whether tolosh ulebesof kibro legabi hafshizroyim is a machlokas tanoim, or whether all agree that it's considered to be tolosh.
Why should we separate the
seed
from the wall?
I might want
the water on the wall
rather
than the
seed. Well, fine. This is a sugya in Makshirin, but the truth is, we're going to see it later on in our Masechta as well. That we're going to darshan from the psukim why it is that something that initially comes down to your ruts, and even though your ruts wasn't necessarily to have it on the peros, it's considered to be kiyutan. Even though it is, it's interesting. It's not a full in sugya, but the Gemara discusses it later. Boy, Rava. My question, and this is of course how Rava's discussion gets into our sugya, is I don't know what the din is legabe shchita. Tolosh ulebesof kibro leinyan shchita mai. What would be the din about shchita? Now, Tosis points out, this is a little strange. I mean, what's the point of bringing this in? We just proved, really, that according to Rebbe, the din is it's kosher b'diavad, and according to Rebbe Yechiya, it's kosher l'chatchila. Right? Because that's our Mishnah. We said our Mishnah was the case in which you're shechting. It says to do it only by the Avad. The only way we were able to work out the Mishnah in context of the Braitot was to say that according to Rabbi Chiyah, we found a Braitot that says that it's Mutar L'Chatchila. That had to be Rabbi Chiyah. We found another Braitot that said according to Rabbi, it's Pasul Afidah by the Avad. And the Mishnah, therefore, that's how we came up with the idea that there's a difference between Mechubah Meikaro and the Tolosh of Asof Chibro, and the Mishnah was going Aliba the Rebbe, who passes Mechubah Meikar, Afilu B'diavad, and is Marshid B'diavad, a case in which was Tolosh of Asof Chibro. What information exactly was Rava missing? I mean, if you didn't know the whole thing, we still have to go through the whole Gemara now again. I mean, Rava obviously does not agree with the implications of the Mishnah and so on we had. But the problem is that if you look at the Mishnah, don't you know the answer? Given the Shitas, you look at the Mishnah, says Tosfos. It's got to be that bidi evidence kosher. Because even if you want to say the Mishnah is talking about that it is Mechubar Meikaro, okay? And the only problem in Mechubar Meikaro is the problem that would make it kosher bidi avad, is the problem maybe you'll be Doreis, since you're holding the head of the animal, you know. It's not an easy way to shech, and we don't want you to shech that way. But then there wouldn't be any nafka mina between Tolosh and Asof Chibro. I mean, mechanically, it's precisely the same. What do I care how it was originally? So whatever the pirush you give the Mishnah, you want to give the pirush of the Mishnah that it's talking l'kola deyaz. I mean, I understand. It's saying that it's only b'di avad. The only logic in that is that it's going to have the same problem whether it was mechubah mikar or Tolosh and Asof Chibro. And if you know enough to make the distinction, because then you say it's read the way we do, so then you know the answer. So what are you asking for, Clark? Very good point, very disturbing. What was Rebbe thinking? And what was Rava thinking? So Tosfos says what Rava was thinking was that maybe the Mishnah would be going according to Rebbe, it might be. Okay, Rebbe, we know holds that if you did Avad, it would be possible. The question is whether the Tolos of the Sof Chibro, the Mishnah rather would be going and leave the Rebbe here. We'd have to make an Afkamina, which we end up making later on, which is that there's a difference between a bird, if you're holding the head of a bird, where there's no trash or grease in the man. All right. So what Rebbe here was saying, okay, I know. I mean, Rebbe was saying, I know that Rebbe holds that you're not allowed to based on the prophet. But in Rebbe here, at least, we have the basis of this distinction between the bird and the animal, and therefore there'd be no nafkamina because it's all mechanical. But according to Rebbe, it's not mechanical. According to Rebbe, it's a prophet. Does Rebbe have a mechanical problem or not? That's my question. And so, is Tolosher of the Sof Chibro? If he holds it's Mechubra, then it's possible. If he holds it's not Mechubra, I'm not sure what he would hold. Because if he holds it's actually Mechubra, it may be Kosher even Lechatchila. I mean, I don't know what Rebbe said regarding mechanics. I never saw anything about Rebbe. Rebbe just had his posse. So it may well be that Rav would bring this whole thing of Rava in order to reopen the question to get to that distinction of the difference between a bird and an animal, which we really haven't discussed yet. So what we're going to do, therefore, is analyze the Braithot as we have them, okay? So Toshma, we tell Rava, look, we had a Braitha yesterday, it says, Ayatsu Yotzei Min HaKotel, O Shehayat Kane, Ole Me'ila, V'Shachat Poshkitat HaTzura. It says that if you've got a stone sticking out of a wall, it's possible. So what's is your answer? No, what do you mean? How can I see him go to Mara? That's not talking about a stone sticking out of a wall that someone built. That's talking about a stone sticking out of a wall that was Mechubra. Clearly it's going according to Rebbe. My question is, what would Rebbe hold about Torah Shulah B'Sof? By the way, it's clear from the context that that's the case. Take Anami, Diktoni, Dumi, Diktoni, Olam, Me'ilav. Why did he put it together with this? The case referred to a reed that grew naturally. What's the connection of a wall to a reed that grew naturally? Obviously, it's a wall that grew naturally. That's the point. So it's not Torah. Shema Amina, indeed, that proves that. Okay, so Shema. How about the other case? Not Sakin Bakota. You stick a knife into a wall, and so now it's permanently implanted in the wall. Now that's Tolos Shul B'Sof Chibro. V'Shachadba, Shchitos Ekshera. So you see that Tolos Shul B'Sof Chibro is certainly not Mechubra, because the previous case was Mechubra was possible. No, that doesn't prove anything. Nobody's going to leave the knife permanently in the wall. Correct? Not going to have a knife sticking out of a wall forever. You stuck the knife into the wall in order to do your shiva on. Then, of course, you're going to take it out of the knife. You want everybody who walks by to end up with half a body. So there, you're not mevatel the knife to the wall. I'm asking, you take bricks. You build a wall. It's meant to be permanent. Does it then become bechubra? That was my question. You bring me a riot from a knife that you plug into a wall? That's no riot. So shiny sack into the mevatel. Okay, fine, but the introduction in that brisa was Hashokhet the Mechubra Lekarka Shchitato Kshera. Now, what do you think that's coming to add? It's going beyond the knife, right? But clearly, that's talking about Mechubra Lekarka. He made it permanently. No. That's not another case as well. Maybe that's a Pirush. Tima Pirushika Mepharishla. Another one. Hashokhet the Mechubra Lekarka. Kidon. Not Sakin. And so on. Veshachadba. So, in other words, what we're saying is, if it's a Mechubra Lekarka of the type which isn't meant to be permanent, such as not Sakin Bekota. So again, that doesn't prove anything. By the way, you said that, not Sakin Bekota, we're talking about Shritot Sakshera. Omar Ravan and Omar Shmuel, this is fascinating. The Shrit is only kosher if the knife is on top. So Sakin Lamal of the Tzavar Behema Lamata. So you're bringing now the animal's head against the knife from the bottom up, not from the top down. But if the knife was sticking facing upwards, and you're holding the animal's head above the knife, then it's not kosher, because chayshinan shema yidros, we are afraid of your having done a drisa Tosis points out that even if the guy, that's why it says Yidros, not that it was Doras. In other words, we always view this as being Mu'ed Ladris. Even if he says, he has an interesting idea. It's a Gzera. Even if the guy says, I know there was no Drisa, but Shema Yidros, if we allow him to do it this time, the next time Shema Yidros. So in other words, it's all going to be us, or even if we know he wasn't Doras.
It's the weight of the animal is...
But the weight of the animal is just too much to control, gently enough, that it should be a kosher shechita. I don't get it. But it said the Farish. Bein shasakin lamata, v'tzavar beim lamala. Bein shasakin lamala, v'tzavar beim lamata. How can Rabban and Basri say that? Omer v'zvid, no, you don't understand. Those two cases, asakin lamala or asakin lamata, were not a reference back to, necessarily, the din of not sacking the kotel. There's two separate things over here. Let's start in Katani. In other words, if the sacking is lamata and the tzavabein lamala, that's perfectly okay. But it's only okay if the sacking is not mechubet to the wall. It's betolish. So if a shofet wants to shef with his knife under the head of the animal, and now he's going upwards, it's fine. It's also kosher if the tzavabein is lamata and the sacking is lamala. Of course, over there it's kosher even if the knife is mechubet. Because that way we don't have a problem of Shema Yidros, because the weight of the animal is going down. Rav Papa says, there's no, I don't understand, there's no problem. Who's to say that it's not talking about a bird? Shechit of a bird. An ufa, the kolel, a bird which is easy to control. Over there it doesn't make any nafkamina. There's a weight that you have to worry about. So it doesn't make any nafkamina if the bird is on top of the knife, and the knife is on top of the bird, even though the knife is mechuban the kotel.
You know, it's a behema?
There are five things that apply to the din of a piece of reed that has been used as a knife. Do not use that for shechita, ain't shochatim, which is a problem, because before we said the feirish, you can use it for shechita. The ain malimba, you wouldn't want to use it for mila, we'll see why not. Ain mechatzin ba batzar, you wouldn't want to use it as a knife to cut steak. The ain mechatzin ba shinayim, don't use it as a toothpick. The ain mekanchin ba, and don't use it for cleaning yourself after defecation. At least that's what we think it means. Now, clearly, we've got a problem with splinters here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, if that's the case, we've got a problem because ein mekan chaba, ein shochtim ba, v'tanya ba kol shochatim bein betzur bein besuchti bein mekulim shochana. How are you going to explain the brisa that says you could check even on zatfila? And Rav Papa says, look, there's two different types of reeds. You're talking about a simuna da'agma. You're talking about the type of reed that grows in a swamp. When that thing dries, it is hard like rock. You do not have to worry about pieces breaking off of it. You're talking about a regular reed that grows on the land. So it's a very soft kind of thing. You try cutting with it, and there's always pieces that break off. And if that happens, you don't notice it while you're shechting. It may easily cause not a shechita at all, basically a nekira. You're being chonek. That's no good. You certainly wouldn't want to take a chance of doing an operation and on a child with it, and that would be awful. And you wouldn't want to cut a steak with it because you might choke on your, you don't realize there's a piece of reed in it. And you certainly wouldn't want to use it to wipe yourself with, because that's all you need is to stab yourself. So all of these things make sense then. There's a difference between a reed that splinters and a hard reed that doesn't. Rav Papa would use even a regular reed that does splinter to cut fish. Because fish, we're talking about sushi over here, fish is zigi. It's very clear. And therefore, if there's a piece in it, you'll see it. And you don't have to worry about it. Rabba Baravuna is another problem, another issue that makes it okay. You can even cut chicken with it. The rock is, it's soft. Something that's soft is not going to break off pieces. Right. The ein mekanchin bo. Now, this business of not using it in the bathroom, I mean, technically, What? Why is it because it's breakable? Why isn't the reason you can't use it in a bathroom is because you can't use anything flammable in the bathroom? Nobody would use tissue or anything like that. So I'm a kaneach the davar shal ur shaletet bo. Anyone who uses flammable things has something to clean himself in a bathroom. Shinav no shrot. This can cause damage to his rectum. The shinav over here is not a reference to his teeth, but rather to the supportive structures of the rectum, which are called shinayim. In any event, by the way, why indeed do people, there are people that use toilet tissue.
No.
What?
No.
Actually, but there are people like that. And the halacha is koveya that indeed, if it's the minhag of a particular place, if everybody uses it, you know, it's bechayish for these kind of things.
Well, what's the
chash? It's some type of segula issue. So all of those kind of things are very much a function of social vision, you know. It's like shading kind of thing. Yeah, if it's not an issue, it's not an issue. And it's also, it becomes already at least shomer tzemach. So how do we explain the specific avoidance of the krum of the kana when it's flammable and has nothing to do with what type of kana it is? Omer of Papa, you don't misunderstand. It's not referring to the use of it in the bathroom. When we talk about cleaning oneself, we meant cleaning pimakad, means to use it as a surgical tool for dressing a wound. So you cut off the tissue that is infected and so on, and then you dress the wound. It's dangerous to use something that may give off a splinter, that's all.
Maybe it's the same.
No, there's no problem with flammable on a wound. It's only flammable is only a bathroom issue. Hakol shochatin, la'olam shochatin. Now, come on, we had all of this before. I mean, it's got to be talking about something else. What's hakol shochatin? Now, hakol shochatin is something completely different. Hakol shochatin means everything you got to share. Not everybody can share. But whatever it is you're going to eat, even if you're going to eat a chicken, you're going to have to shech that chicken. Afilu oaf, which is not so clear because the whole din of shechita was said on behema, right? It doesn't say anywhere about an oaf to shech. It talks about taking animals, that's tzvi and ayal and so on. Li olam shochatim. Now what's that li olam shochatim? I mean, we know we said before, you know, Leolam Shavuotim is day or night or so. I mean, this mission's got to be talking about something else. What is that referring to? Montana. Oh, my Rabbi, I'll tell you what that's all about. That's clearly going according to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is a very interesting sheet at the time. Ki yachiv Hashem lokechat v'luchat asher diber lach. Yomata uchlo basar ki tavana v'shachem lefo basar. Now, over there it's talking about what? When you're in a place which you're far away from the Mishkan, in other words, you've come into Eretz Yisrael now, you're not living close to Yerushalayim, like we are here in the Midbar, where everybody can just go to the Mishkan and shech. And then you want to eat meat, so what do? You have to shech the meat. So Rabbi Yishmael on there, what's the purpose of that? Lo ba'akatuv ala la'atir lehem basar ta'ava. The pasuk is coming to say you're allowed to eat meat for no reason but the fact that you want to eat it, even if it's not a carbon. Initially, they were prohibited from eating basar tava. Now here we have a fascinating machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says the reason it was also to eat basar tava is because in the Midbar it says that asher yishachet bichutz lamachaneh. Dam shapacha and so on and so forth. That's murder. You can't check an animal outside of the Mishkan. So Tosfos, what are you talking about? That's talking about kutchin. What does that imply that you can't check an animal to eat it? Well, who says there's a problem of eating it? What does Rashi mean? Therefore, says Tosfos, the point of this thing is Rabbi Shmuel is saying, from the fact that the Torah needs to tell me this thing about Kiyarfim, it's clear that up until this point it was prohibited to be shochet because of Itav and Afshakam Rechol Basam. Alright. So now, Misha Nitvesula Aret. So now, they come into Eretz Yisrael, Hutala and Basar Tahava. It is now permissible to eat food for no particular reason. You could shech the animal in order to eat it. You're hungry. Now, the question is, Akshab Shigalu, now you are in a position which you're back in the Midbar. Because you're no longer in Eretz Yisrael. So when you're back in the Midbar, you have to release the Ran HaRishon. So now it should become us the way it was in the Midbar.
Well, we don't have access to the Mishnah.
The Kach Shaninu, therefore, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yishmael, it has to tell us, you're in the Mishnah, Lo Olam Shochatim, all throughout history, you shall. Even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Maskis, Rabbi Yosef, attacks this approach exactly as David did. And he says, first of all, the language is absurd. And the issue is not whether you can check, the issue is whether you can eat. I mean, you're saying the heter basa taiva is not an issue of shechita. The heter basa taiva is, do you have a right to eat meat if you're not bringing it as a carbon? So then, I mean, how could the Mishnah ignore the main point? It's a high leolam shalchatim. Leolam shalchatim leolchani, by the way. You want to throw it in here, okay, thank you. We're talking about chulin, we're talking about behemoths. Okay, but you can't ignore the akhila. That's number one. Furthermore, as David pointed out, Mikara my time eatzer. Why originally in the Midbar was it prohibited to eat basar ta'ava according to Bishmon? Because you have a wonderful option. Instead of walking around like a baltaiva, bring your carbon lashem and then you'll be nene. You can have all the meat for yourself, but share it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, they were awesome. Now you're living in Tel Aviv. We all know you can't share anything with God there. So Mamela, you have to know that it's mutter to eat meat in Tel Aviv. But what's the Havamina that now that you're even outside of Eretz Yisrael, that what? That's going to be better now and you should go back to sharing with God? On the contrary, you're further away from the Beis HaMikdash. So the reason my time eats from Kudabi Mitar to the Mishkan. Because they were close to a Mishkan. Lebesoka, they came in there to throw my time at Galaxy. Why is it also Mishum Davi Mirka Kimi Mishkan? Now it's because you're far away from the Mishkan. So Kosha came out to the shore now, after the Golas and the Korban, the Achika would take even further from the Mikdash than you ever were. So what kind of crazy Avamina would it be to say, and therefore you're not allowed to share because you have to share it with God? Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, definitely, if anything, it's the opposite of Rabbi Yishmael. It's going according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he the Tanaki, Yerchak Mimcha Makom, Asher Yivcha Hashem Lekel Asum Shmo Sham, Vizavakta Mibilkorcha Umitzonecha. What is the meaning of that? Pasuk says Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Ba Katuv Ela Lehesor Lem Basar Nechira. The Torah over here is limiting access to meat, not expanding access to meat. It's telling you, up until now, you didn't have to worry about shechita of chulin. You could do nechira of chulin. Yes, you'd have to cut the simanim, but there was no din of how to move a knife. Stabbing it. But now that you come into Eretz Yisrael, your chulin are to be treated as kachim.
So there's no fear of shechita of chulin
in the midbar. And now, Shabitzkilahu tar lehem batzar nechira. Mishinik vesul aretz nesar lehem batzar nechira. And now, the havamina would be, maybe the din of shechita of chulin is a din of kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Torah says, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you're living in a Beit HaMikdash, and all of your things are karbonas, and you have to treat them to some extent like karbonas, and you need to do shechita. So you might think that in the time of the Galut, you don't need to do shechita. You go back to the way you lived like animals among animals in the Galut. Therefore, comes along the Mishnah to say, L'yoylam sherchatin l'kak shaninu, L'yoylam sherchatin, that once having come into Eretz Yisrael, you're now mukhliyev to continue shechting no matter what happens afterwards. Completely different way of looking at it. Now, tomorrow we'll go into this. It's a fascinating machlokas. Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Akiva. Tomorrow we'll go into that a little bit more.
So, Rabbi Akiva holds the